Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex. It's time.
The entire world. I am not the usual one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am not the top hunk of pop punk and the brains behind America's favorite wrestling themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am not Rex Razor Sharp, but I am, as usual, joining him on this arduous journey of a nightmare. I am the host of the Sign Guys Wrestling Show. I am the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil. I am the host of Sign of the Times. I am the Stompin' Steve to his South Park Bellinger. So pretty much all three of them are the same exact guy. And please welcome to the show the genius known only as Sign Guy. How am I doing, brother? Not too badly this week. Not too badly this week. Rex Razor Sharp on assignment. The rumor is he's out looking for a sponsorship from a major marshmallow company because he loves the marshmallows, loves it. If the marshmallows were to sponsor us, it might be one of the only dreams in his life. But filling in for Rex Sharp, it is Mrs. Sign Guy.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I want to know if that marshmallow company is Jet Puff Marshmallows.
Possibly. If they have marshmallows involved, then Rex is all about it.
Okay. So, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler this week, Sangha?
Well, there is this wedding, see. I'm not sure if it was legal. It may not have been. But apparently there is this wedding slash costume party slash wrestling event where I had a 15 3/4 star match against DeMarcus James, which saw me prevail victorious over the aforementioned DeMarcus James, the former Pacific Northwest light heavyweight champion, among other championships.
That he is. Did Brian Alvarez run out of stars?
He did. That's why he could only go to 15 3/4. Uh-huh. Dave Meltzer wept at its greatness.
Did he?
He went through a couple of boxes of tissue to control the weeping.
Only two?
He tried to be strong.
I see.
But I'm still not sure if that wedding was legal or not. Who's to say? Stompin' Steve Bellinger Bragg Sharp might have been at the courthouse intercepting anything that was going to make it legal.
I kept waiting for a helicopter to, like, drop him in or something.
He did hijack one of the rings and hide it, which almost worked.
That's true.
He was very meticulous on hiding that ring, but apparently QT Volks found it. Eek, he shouted. Eek, a ring.
And then the wedding went forward, I guess.
Ish. Forward-ish, I guess.
Mm.
But I guess he also dropped off a nice package of lingerie, because that's a completely appropriate wedding gift to give, apparently.
Okay.
Right.
Did QT say eek to that, too?
He might have. I don't know. I did not see it, but there's scuttlebutt all around that a mysterious package of lingerie appeared for simply the princess. So I believe his code was cracked.
I think so. Well, is there any other scuttlebutt?
I'm trying this celestial apple tea. It might be a little too strong with the apple. Just a little too strong
just
with the apple.
Bit.
Just a too much apple. It's more like apple juice than a tea, I think.
So not enough tea in that tea.
If it was just a bit more on the tea side, I think they would have something.
Okay.
Or perhaps I just brewed it a bit too strongly.
That could be too, I suppose. So, any other scuttlebutt, any other things that need to be discussed before we move on?
Jason the Gift Kincaid is making his Pacific Northwest debut.
Awesome.
Bringing Will Huckabee's jersey to Portland, Oregon.
Awesome.
I believe he is facing Bad Blood and Dave Havoc Hollenbeck in a triple threat match, which I will declare a four corners match and insert Will Huckabee's jersey into said match.
I hope I get to see that.
People will be seeing it, because I'm going to declare that jersey legal.
Okay. Well, shall we hit that music?
I guess we can. Segment in the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Mrs. Sign Guy as Natty, while I shall be Rosa Mendez. And scene.
You have another hair on you.
I do. Is it my hair?
Are you wearing that?
Ha 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 ha. Wait. Yeah, Natty.
Broke.
Okay. Well, let me get my sneakers on, and then we'll go.
Broke, honestly, you look like we're going to a nudist colony.
It's like 91 degrees. I've always dressed kind of, you know, naked.
I'm leaving. This is too much.
Wait for me. Wait for me. And scene.
My guy, what was this?
This was a scene where Natty showed up at the hotel room of Rosa Mendez, where nothing good ever happens, yet she continually goes there, time after time. Natty trying to pull hairs out of the shorts of Rosa Mendez and then complains that Rosa looks like she's going to a nudist colony, which apparently is something Natty knows nothing of, because nudist colonies don't feature people wearing shirts and shorts, yet Rosa was.
Yes, she was.
So, Natty, unfamiliar with what a nudist colony actually is, thinks it's a place where people go clothed, but they do not.
No, they don't.
They do not. Natty, unsure of that. And then tried to leave Rosa, apparently thinking Rosa would just sit in the room all day and never make it to TV, because apparently Natty thought if Rosa showed up at TV, they would presume Natty was also naked while wearing clothing, and Natty would get in trouble or some such thing.
Well, this does come from the girl who cracked her car up to get out of a drug test.
She did do that.
Among other things.
Yes. Now, can you review a few of the things that Natty has done over the course of Total Divas?
She had bugs fly out of her hair, and then when they fumigated the house, she ran in back into the house to retrieve a pussycat bowl for it to sleep in. Then we have the aforementioned drug test, car crash, brownie thing. Can you add a few more, fine guy?
Well, she moved her sister into her home thinking her husband was so stupid he would never notice that her sister lived full-time in the home. She also was telling everyone that would listen that the anvil was obsessed with a pink tie, when in fact the anvil didn't even care if he had a tie or not. Wasn't concerned one bit, but yet Natty was telling everyone he had to have that tie or he'd refuse to go to the Hall of Fame, which only was an occurrence in her deranged mind, apparently, because Anvil didn't care. He would have shown up in a pair of, flip-flops and a pair of shorts and a tank top and been just fine.
Probably so, yeah.
As long as there was an open bar, he was all right.
So any other crazy things Natty has done?
Too numerous to mention, probably.
This is probably true.
Although last week she went to an ostrich farm, perfectly fine ostrich farm, and then was complaining that TJ never took her anywhere. He just had taken her to an ostrich farm.
She complains to TJ a lot, doesn't she?
She really does. I hate that gift you gave me that I haven't seen yet, she shouted. But you haven't seen it yet. Oh, let me look. Yep, still hate it. Don't know what it is, but I hate it. So I'm just going to tell all the broads, you didn't buy me anything despite this very expensive piece of equipment.
Every single one of them.
Yes. So we should get into this.
Okay.
Whom on your list did you most hate for the episode?
You want my top?
The one you hated the worst.
That would be Nikki for her insecurity meltdown over the whole movie scene. Shall we get into that?
Go ahead.
All right. So John Cena's got a movie role, and he doesn't tell Nikki right away that it involves a sex scene, that there is a sex scene in this movie. And she absolutely flips out over him not saying anything to her about this scene. She thinks he should have gotten her approval for this scene. Am I reading that right?
That's what it seemed like.
Okay. So anyway, that was my number one, because she had a complete insecurity meltdown. All the broads and all the family had to, talk her down off the roof, I think, over this, so that was my number one. Who was your number one most hated, Sanga?
Well, number one I had Natty. Now, Natty this week, to start off with, she's with Rosa Mendez. They meet up at the airport, and they drive 2 or 3 feet, and there's this strange buzzing sound. So Rosa, trying to ignore the strange buzzing sound, just keeps going, but Natty's like, no, there's a buzzing, so we have to pull off to a safe area and investigate this. Rosa knew what the buzzing was, but she was just trying to let it go. No, it's a toothbrush, because she thought, well, Natty's really stupid. She'll think it's 1983 and I have an electric toothbrush. It was not a toothbrush at all.
No.
But Natty had to make a scene in the middle of whatever town they were in.
In the middle of the road.
In the middle of a major highway. Yeah, she definitely pointed out that was not a toothbrush.
Yes.
Once again, Rosa Mendez led to some blurring on the screen of a Total Divas episode. But then Natty gets to the room and she flips out thinking Rosa is naked despite wearing clothes.
She was clothed at all times, yes.
Yes. Unlike the previous time. And during Natty's talking head segment, she specifically says, I don't want to see every inch of Rosa, while they're showing them in the elevator and Natty pulling the shorts away from Rosa and looking into them. Doesn't want to see every inch of her, but there she is pulling her shorts out and sticking her head directly in her crotch to see every inch of Rosa Mendez. So if she didn't want to see every inch of it, she picked a poor choice of activities to do.
Why did she do that?
I have no idea. It contradicted the exact thing she said in her talking head segment. She didn't want to see every inch, but there she was sticking her head right in her crotch, burying herself into the shorts of Rosa Mendez to investigate. Seemed a poor choice.
It did. It did. I also had Natty on my bottom list. She was...
Whoa, pause it. I am not finished.
Okay.
She went to lunch with Trinity. We know it was lunch because Trinity was having a adult beverage and it looked like appetizers. So
that had to be lunch.
So they get there. And Natty's complaining, oh, well, TJ and I are having problems and this and that. She doesn't point out to Trinity, we're having problems because I keep bad-mouthing everything he says or does and then going to the broads and making it worse than it is. Left that part out, so Trinity's like, well, go to marriage counseling because I want to eat these appetizers and drink this beverage. So Natty books the appointment, goes to the counseling. The counselor's like, well, this broad's off for rocker here, but I'll let it go. TJ seems to know what's going on here. He seems well-adjusted, so I'll just hope for the best for him. And then Natty gets home and shames her pussycat. You've got mess on your tail. You've got mess on your tail, she screams at this poor pussycat who runs away in shame. Like, why would you point that out to a national television audience? The pussycat doesn't go around saying, hey, Natty, you didn't wipe yourself there. Come back. Natty, you didn't wipe yourself. Come back. In front of the cameras. But there's Natty screaming, you've got mess on your tail. That poor pussycat probably never go to the Cat Fancy magazine parties ever again now.
Probably not.
And then there she is right back at TJ complaining. She wants to go to another counseling session. And he's like, well, Dr. Milrod had us fixed in one session. I don't see the point of going back. And I can see her point a little bit there, but then she goes out with Darren Young and they're at some sort of Mommy Day relay fundraiser event, which made no sense. And she invites Darren Young out to dinner, and I guess a paparazzi event. They get out, and the paparazzi's asking, where's TJ? And she's like, we're not divorced yet. Paparazzi had no idea there was any problem at all. And she's all like, oh, we're not divorced yet. I can be dating Darren Young, apparently. Paparazzi had no idea what was going on.
No.
He just starts tweeting what she said. Because she figured, well, TJ's really stupid. He won't see it on Twitter when hundreds of people tweet at him. Look at this televised interview your wife just did.
But he did see it, and he confronted her about it.
And then she gets upset, like, I can't believe you would think I would want a divorce just because I went on national television and said that.
But he confronted her about it. He asked her straight out. So.
And then she just ran away.
Yeah. Never really answered him.
No.
And that was why she earned a spot on my bottom three. She was number three for that comment.
I had her at my number one. Now, number two I had Nikki. And it was mainly because she was confused on this thing. Obviously, she thought John Cena had wrote this movie himself and put this scene in specifically to antagonize her, which he did not.
No.
He was sent a script and an offer of probably substantial compensation to perform in this movie, so he accepted it. He didn't care that she may or may not like the scene at that point because she wants a house, she wants all these cars, $20,000 purses she'll use once or twice and throw them out and get
mm-hmm.
another one. So he's got to come up with ways to pay for all this. And there's Nikki. Well, you didn't ask my special permission ahead of time for this scene to be in the movie. Because she was mistakenly thinking John Cena wrote the movie. He did not write the movie.
Mm.
He was simply an actor in the movie in what I guess was a minor role. It didn't seem like it was a starring role. But there's Nikki. You didn't get my permission and you put this scene in the movie. Like, he had complete control over the movie and all the scenes in it and could dictate everything that was in that movie and change it to his liking, which had to be mirrored of what Nikki Bella's liking was. And then she had the gall to compare her movie, which I presume went straight to Netflix or to home video or something, to John Cena's. And he tried to explain what a professional movie production was. And she's like, yeah, I've been on a set. Because I guess the 2 minutes she was in a studio to film the voice work for the WWE Flintstones movie constitutes her being a major motion picture star like John Cena. Apparently.
It does not, though. It does not.
You wouldn't think so, but there she was. Because I don't think she wrote her scenes in her movie and then faxed them to John Cena for approval before greenlighting the movie. I'm guessing she accepted the movie role and then acted what was written rather than having to write her individual scenes herself.
Right.
And then get approval.
You would think. So who else is on your list?
Number three, I had Eva Marie.
Okay, tell us why.
Eva Marie sitting there at some sort of dinner with the rest of the broads, completely orange. Her skin tone was not human. She was orange. I don't know what she did to become a Star Trek alien, but she did something where her skin was now orange with dark brown eyebrows that also did not resemble human eyebrows in any form or fashion. And she mirrored Nikki Bella's statements. And she's like, oh, I wouldn't let my man do that. No, and she's also under the false assumption that every actor in every movie writes their own individual scenes. And they can just act any scene they want as long as their spouse approves of it. You don't see a movie where, like, 37 actors do 37 different scenes unconnected from each other because that's what their wives want. But apparently Eva Marie also convinced, much like Nikki Bella, this is what happened.
This is true, although I can probably give you an explanation for the orange color. That was probably spray tan.
It didn't resemble any type of tan that a human being would have. It resembled what people would use on fruit.
This is true.
Now, did you have any other on your least liked.
I had Summer Rae as my number two. And that was for moving in on Rose's new guy, Gary. Tell us about Gary a little bit.
He was an American football player that had the misfortune of being introduced to Rosa Mendez and Summer via The Miz. He didn't know what was going on. He just looking for a broad to go out with, apparently. He was new in town, maybe. Didn't know what was going on, and then bam, got hit with all this stuff with Rosa Mendez. And it terrified him to his very core.
It did. You could read that all over his face.
And then Summer Rae steps in, equally as creepy towards him.
This is true. Tell us a few of the creepy things Summer Rae did to her.
First, she was standing there when Rosa was introducing him around, and she tried to make the thing about her. She's like, oh, well, if Natty's your best friend, then what kind of friend am I, and where do I fit into this picture? It's terrifying, this poor guy, like, uh-oh, a fight, and I've been here all of 30 seconds, and I shouldn't be backstage anyway, because I have no need or cause to be backstage at WWE, because I'm just an American football player, not even married to any of these broads. The Miz is nowhere around. He got me into this. And then Summer Rae was like, oh, well, I'll just ask him out, because I don't go out in Orlando, and since he's in Cleveland, we'll go on a date in Orlando, apparently. Which made no sense at all to me.
No, it didn't to me either. I was a little confused myself.
Because the guy met up with Rosa Mendez in Cleveland, because apparently he plays in Cleveland. But then Summer Rae is all like, oh, here we are, we're in Orlando. I don't go out in Orlando, so you'll have to tell me if this place is any good or not. How would he know?
He probably doesn't go out in Orlando either.
Yes. Plus, she was obsessed with the fact he had played in Charlotte. Like it was the only time anyone in the world had ever been to Charlotte besides her. She's like, you were in Charlotte? That is the craziest thing. And she just had this look on her face like she couldn't fathom anyone outside of herself having been to North Carolina. It just baffled her that someone had snuck into North Carolina without her previous knowledge of it.
This is true. So any other additions to your least liked list?
Those are my three.
Okay.
Now on to your most liked. Whom did you have at number three?
At number three, I had Kathy Colas. Trying to get Nikki to see that she really had nothing to worry about with this scene in Jaws' movie. She'd been going on seemingly for weeks about this whole thing. So it seemed to take an awful lot of time in this episode about this whole scene that John was doing. So Kathy tried to calm her daughter down and make her see that she really had nothing to worry about it. And so that was my number three. Who was your number three?
Well, my number three was TJ. Now, this poor guy agreed to go to the marriage counseling. He's like, well, I put up with Dr. Milrod. I guess I'll do this, too. And he pointed out the problem. He's like, you're obsessed with nothing but work, and yet you come home, and it's still work, and then you get obsessed with my work, and I don't think twice about it because everything's perfectly under control. Everything's fine. I don't give it more time than it needs, but yet there you are obsessing over it constantly. Won't let it go. Never gives it a rest. And she drags him to the performance center for something we never did discover what it was.
Yes.
And he's talking to an agent in Corey Graves, and he was apparently going to do something. They were filming him to do something. It was never made clear. He had enough presence of mind not to boot Natty in the face when she kept trying to direct him, despite the fact the agent who was in charge of directing him was standing right there. But Natty's like, no, get out of the way, agent. I'm telling him how to do everything. And there she is just laying into him. No, do it this way. No, do it that way. And she said in her talking head segment, she wanted to get in there and just do it herself. Like, that would help TJ in any way. No matter what he was doing, I'm pretty sure if they wanted Natty to do it, they would have Natty do it. This was something for TJ, but she didn't think TJ could do it to her satisfaction because apparently she thought she was in control of whatever segment it was going to be. But it appeared since they had an agent and Corey Graves, she was not.
No, she was not.
And then when Natty gets home a day later than she had told TJ, and he's like, well, couldn't you explain in a text you were going to go shopping a day? And she just blows up at poor TJ. Like, how dare you question me? He's like, I've been going nonstop since May, despite the fact last week I had a week in Mexico.
Just last week.
Yes. Nonstop, despite the week of drinking nonstop in Mexico in the ostrich farm. She forgot that. TJ doesn't remind her of that. He lets it go. And then he's like, what about this thing everyone tweets at me about this interview and you're throwing out divorce when you were never asked about a divorce? He's like, I'll divorce you now if that's what you want. He's just hoping he can grab that phone. He's got the divorce lawyer on speed dial.
Probably does.
He's like, just say the word. I'll hit the button. But she just walks away. And he's like, can I call? And she just doesn't answer him.
He never answers.
So TJ remained calm. Didn't ever kick her in the face. Didn't throw anything. Remained perfectly calm.
For TJ to put up with her is amazing to me. The depth of his patience with her is just unending, it seems like.
Now imagine if he'd gone out with Summer Rae.
Ooh, there'd be trouble. Lots of trouble.
Because, you know, she went out with Darren Young. He should have gone out with Summer Rae, I think.
It seems fair. So who was your number two then?
I had Trinity. Now, Trinity this week went to the aforementioned lunch with Natty. After having gone to the movie premiere for Nikki Bella's very low-budget movie, and she made the appearance at the movie premiere that Nikki acted like was a major deal, then went to this lunch. She just wanted the lunch. Natty going on this rant, and she's like, just go to therapy. Quit bugging me. Go to therapy. It worked. It got Natty to calm down, they could have the lunch.
It did. I had Trinity as my number one. Because she tried to put the supportive friend face on when she suggested this. So, big ups to her, as Taz would say, for trying to be the supportive friend, or at least looking like one. And are we moving on to my number two then?
Your number two
was the doctor, the marriage counselor. What was her name again?
I'd have to look that up.
I have mid yet, but I don't know if that's right or not.
It was something in there.
Anyway, she put up with all of Natty's drama, all of Natty's complaints, which didn't really seem like issues to me, or to TJ, it seemed like. So what did you think about Dr. Midget?
She was no Dr. Milrod. She never suggested using any type of fruit. But you could see TJ just sitting there waiting on fruit to be discussed. He was terrified the whole time, I think. He's like, nope, no problems here. I'm completely well adjusted. And he's looking over at Natty like, that's the crazy one. If you could just commit her to some sort of sanatorium, I would sign the paperwork. But the doctor never went that far. She apparently wanted more sessions.
TJ not willing to do that, though.
Dr. Milrod cured him in one session. He was just thinking, well, Dr. Milrod would have cured us in one session.
That's where that comes from. Okay. So, who was your number one, then?
I had JJ somewhere Rex Razor Sharp with a mouth full of marshmallows saying, "This was Razor, he's large." But JJ this episode, the voice of reasonable remembrance, because when Nikki was complaining about this scene that she still thought John Cena had personally wrote just to betray her, JJ was like, "Well, didn't you make out with guys on WWE before that?" Made her livid. She's like, "Well, yeah, Daniel Bryan." And he's like, "Well, there you go." They flash back to the scene where Bryan and Nikki are making out with Brie on the other side of them. And she's like, "That's different." And he's like, "Nope, it's the same thing.
Not at all.
You're paid to do a job. That's part of the job. That's what he's doing. Like, no issue here, no problem." Like, you're making a problem where there is no problem because you did the exact same thing on WWE TV. Exact same thing. And she's like, "Quick, Brie, say something really inappropriate to get us out of this situation." And then tried to go back to the whole thing up being on the up and up. But JJ knew better. JJ, like, "You've done the same thing. It's totally legitimate. It's for his work. He's going to get paid quite well for this. And, like, it's probably one out of several scenes he's in. Shouldn't be an issue at all."
No.
Which made her livid. Made her livid at poor JJ.
I mean, would Angie tell Brad he can't have that scene?
You wouldn't think.
So just kind of comparing and contrasting there. So any other additions to your list? I think that was all of mine.
No, but if Rex Razor Sharp was here, he'd say, "Whoa, pause, 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 whoa, pause, 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 whoa, pause, pause, pause."
Okay.
Whoa, pause, 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 pause. Okay, go ahead. Whoa, pause, 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 he'd say. And he'd say, "You've got to talk about Brie Bella. This idiot, this narcissist, the worst human being in the world, the dirt worst. She was sitting there, and they were talking about Nikki's problem with John Cena in this scene, and she's like, 'Oh, we asked our dad to take us to booty call, and it was so embarrassing, and made it all about Brie. Took the thing from Nikki, threw it onto her, buried the dad, just so she could have the spotlight. Who does that? What a horrible garbage can human being. I love marshmallows.'"
Okay.
That's what he would say if he was here.
Ah. Well, you just said it. So.
Someone had to.
So, yeah, apparently somebody had to.
Zane Paisley was waiting on it. He was just waiting on making a meme for that.
Ah.
Now he can live out the rest of his life in relative comfort.
Okay. Any other additions to your list?
I think that's all.
I think I have all of mine, too. So.
Although we didn't really talk about Rosa Mendez in this thing. What a terrifying person she was the whole episode.
This is true.
Made that guy completely uncomfortable. She's like, "This isn't something I wanted to discuss on the first date, but here on the second date, here's why I was in rehab for so long and with this guy." And you could see the man's eyes just bug out of his head, and he's like, "I just wanted to have a sandwich and leave, and I can't."
He was trying to plot ways to get out of that situation, I think.
Now, the previous date, he was enjoying his meal, and Rosa grabs his arms, yanks him across the table, and starts eating his food out of his hands, which terrified him to his very core, I think. By the second date, he was just moving. He was like, "I'll just move to Orlando, and hopefully she'll never go to Orlando so I can be rid of this broad."
Yeah, that second date, you could tell he wanted to run. He wanted to just leave very, very quickly.
And I still wonder what was in that little rock glass that he had. He said he doesn't drink, but yet suspiciously looked like a rum and Coke, or perhaps
that it did.
Perhaps even a Jack Daniels and Coke Rex Razor Sharp would be able to identify it if he were here, but he is not because he's on assignment with the Marshmallow Company.
I still want to know if it's Jet Puff Marshmallows.
We will ask him next week.
Okay.
But, yeah, Rose is very, very terrifying this week. Very terrifying.
Yes.
And the agent that came and got her and said, we have to take you to do an interview. I don't recall her doing any interviews in that time period. I think she was with Epico and Primo perhaps at that time. They didn't do interviews.
No. I don't recall any at that point either, so. Very strange.
It really was.
Mystery interview that no one ever saw. And she terrified poor Natty, too, with the buzzing implement.
I believe she terrifies Natty every single week. But Natty's like, I'm so scared, I'm going to look into your shorts. And then just bury her head into her shorts while saying, I don't want to see any part of nakedness on you, despite the fact I've buried my head into your crotch and am now sniffing at it.
Eek, Kitty would say. Eek.
He really would.
So, shall we move on to what's going on for this week?
All right.
Tell us what's going on for you, Sunday.
Well, Friday on Sun Guys Wrestling Show, Shane Swerve Strickland out of CZW and also the Lucha Underground will be on.
All right.
And Sunday, the aforementioned Jason the Gift and Kate at Blue Collar Wrestling, which will be preceded by Turnbuckle Turmoil and WCW star Charlie Norris.
Nice. And any hints on the location for the Sign of the Times this week?
It will be undisclosed. Last week, from an undisclosed wedding where there was a bouncy castle.
I recall the bouncy castle. It was a rather nice bouncy castle.
I believe Stompin' Bellinger, Bragg, was also somewhere on the property.
It would have shocked me.
He has named this in his top 10 episodes of all time, I believe.
Has he now? Has anybody else commented on the wedding gimmick episode?
I believe there might have been a few from QT.
Ah. QT was at aforementioned wedding gimmick, was he not?
He showed up after the second time the ring was found.
Apparently the first time it was not truly found.
That is what I understood.
So, anything else going on this week?
I think that covers it. So, I guess, until next time, later, Rex Razor Sharp would say with a mouthful of marshmallow.
Something like that?
Somewhere in there.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.